Perhaps for a title, it could be I Will. I Will. I Will what? And I'll tell you a little story. Going back about 2 weeks or 3 weeks ago, might have been on a Sunday, a phone call came through and it said, and it was Bobby on the other end, and Viv picked it up, and she had asked if Dave could help her walk to Brighton. So Viv said to me, do you want to help her do a walk to Brighton? Of course, that's great. I love doing things like that, so that's fine for me. I'm up for it straight away. So I rung Bobby back and I said, yeah, that's great. I'd love to do that. Let's do it this weekend. It's strike while the iron's hot. So, you know, first weekend, because otherwise I can imagine you'd... Actually, the weekends have been quite good and I could have probably fitted in on quite a few, but I just think if the weather's good, we'll go for it. So we talked about it and I said, yes, we'll go for it. I said, just a couple of things I'd like to change around is I'd rather walk back from Brighton, walk from Brighton home. It's the way I kind of like to think. I like to be heading home. I said, and if we walk back along the bus route, we can, if we're struggling, we can always catch the bus. And I said, we'll catch the bus there and then we'll get off of the bus and then we'll head home. So I'm, you know, we're planning these things out. And she said, yeah, because that's why she's asked me to help her, see, because she hasn't done this before. And I said, the only thing I'd like to do is if I'm going to do it, I want to walk up over Devil's Dyke, which you can walk up the A23. But I said, I can't really cope with doing that. I like to go the more scenic route. So I have to go up over the top and down the other side, which makes it a lot harder. I said, it's a lot harder, but it's, I think it's worth it. So she agreed to that. Yeah, okay. You're doing it. The funny thing is, I've never actually walked it all in one go. So I think she thought I had, but I have walked it on many occasions, but never in one go. But that didn't matter. I was up for it. Because whenever I've done it, we've slept in the woods overnight. And because that's part of the fun that we've always done. So to do it all in one go was something new anyway for me. So I was kind of up for it. And she talked to me a little bit. She said, you know, she'll sort hers out. And then I told her, come up to me and then we'll catch the bus down. So yes, the morning came, we'd watched the weather, it was a bit dubious. So I took my umbrella, of course, you know, as you do, carry it all the way, I don't think we did use it, maybe once. Anyway, so she wanted her children to do this walk. Now her children are junior school age, which is very young. So I thought, okay, well, what we'll do is we'll walk the bus route. We can always catch the bus. And failing that, I give Viv a ring and she can come and rescue them. So we had a plan. That was fine. So we catch the bus and I took Ed with me. I said, Ed, do you want to do this walk? Yeah, he's up for it. He's always up for it. So a little gang of us, we jump on the bus at Peace Pottage and off we go to Brighton. Almost forgot to get off the bus. So we would have ended up at the bus stop, but at the bus station. So anyway, we get off at Brighton, go down the seafront, have a little walk around. And I think Bobby was raring and ready to go. And there's me sort of playing around on the beach, do my little rituals. My rituals are throwing a pebble in the sea and finding a pebble with a hole in it. But never mind. That's just my little bit of fun. I had to do that. And then we started off. Look at the watch. 11 o'clock. Off we go. And of course, I've done it quite a few times. I said, you know, it's going to take us 2 hours of just uphill nearly all the way to get to Devil's Dyke. It's quite... And I said... And I kind of preparing them, hopefully. I said, walking out of Brighton, you know, you're doing the town, you're walking in the town for about an hour, and it feels like you're not getting anywhere almost. It's a bit dire, really. So you kind of pass these things on. So you start walking out, and you've been trudging away for a good half an hour or so, and one of the little girl goes, how much more? Or how much longer? Or something. I'm like, oh, I don't know what to say. Do I say, you know, oh, it's all right, we've only got 8 hours to go. you know, it's just, what can you say? So, and Ed was with me, and he knew that it was massive walk, and he's like, and he just looked at me, and he can't say a lot. So anyway, we eventually got to Devilsdyke, and we had a little picnic up there, and they were still, yeah, you know, how far, ever so often they'd say, how many more hours? And the thing is, I didn't actually know how many hours, because I didn't know. I just knew it was a lot of hours, and I didn't really want to say. and then we started down, and I said, it's always nice this next bit, because it's downhill, and it's a rapid downhill, and it's great. And then it goes flat, so it's... And you're kind of trying to say these words of encouragement to keep them going. And as we were heading down, we saw this really steep bit. And you know what I enjoyed telling them? I enjoyed telling them about Caroline going down. I said, Caroline Wainwright, she went down that hill. And it doesn't mean much to you, but when you see it, it means a lot, because it's like that. And I enjoy telling people that, you know, Caroline went down there. And that was only about last year, wasn't it? And it's pretty vertical, I tell you. You look at it and you think, I couldn't go down there. And we went down a bit that wasn't as steep, and that was scary enough for them. And then you get asked again, oh, how much further? And I'm like, okay, a bit further. And on we go. And, you know, it's quite a nice time, because you're walking along, you're chatting. I might be chatting to Ed one minute. I might be chatting to Shiv or chatting to Bobby. And as we're walking along, Bobby was telling me that they've been walking to church from Broadfield to Maidenbower every Sunday, which is, I don't know how long it is, but it's quite a decent walk, as you might know, and then back. So she'd been getting her children kind of reasonably walking fit. And then they had done another walk recently. I think they said they'd been on their feet for about 5 hours. So I thought, oh, that's pretty good. You know, that's a good sort of start. But it's not just this massive long walk anyway. So we just carried on walking and walking, and it went on. And every so often they'd say, how much further? And I thought, oh, it's still a bit further. And you know, you might not even be halfway, and they're asking these things. But we carried on. And then we got quite a long way. We got towards Warninglyd, and I'd say, oh, we come into this wood now. There's a teddy bear's picnic in this wood. See if you can find it. And, you know, there is. There's some teddy bears hidden in there, and someone's made a picnic in there. And you know the wood, you know that you'll find the teddy bear's picnic. So, you know, I've done it quite a lot of times, so you kind of know the different things. And so, that, you know, they're bits of fun as you walk along. And then I happened to look at Sheeny, the youngest one, at one point, because I knew where we were, and I knew the different stages. And I'd say to Bobby, well, I don't know where we were, Bolney, we've got Warninglyd, we've got Slotham, Handcross, then Peace Pottage. And you're trying to say it sound like it's close, but you know in real life that'd be a good long walk anyway. And I looked at Ashini at one point, and she was kind of sort of struggling a bit, her legs. And she, I don't know, how old is she? She's quite young, isn't she? And it's quite an amazing achievement. And she was walking along, and I thought, oh, I don't know if she's going to make it. And I said to her, you know, do you want me to, this was in Bolney, I said, do you want me to phone for Viv to come and collect you? No, I'm going to walk it. I'm going to walk it. So I said, okay, well, we'll see how we get on, but I can always phone for you. And then we go on to the next bit. And I think she was struggling at this point. Well, she was, I could tell. And we go on a further on. And I said, look, because I'd have to try and work out where the roads are. Viv could come down and pick her up. And then we come on. And this is, you know, you're saying this to someone who's 10 years old, whose legs are aching, whose feet are sore. And you say, do you want a lift home? Most of us would be, oh, yeah, I'd be in the car straight away. And I asked her again, you know, later on. I said, do you want me to get Viv to come and collect you? You know, she'll just jump in the car and we can meet at the next road and she'll collect you. No, I really want to walk it. I'm going to walk it. And I gave up asking her in the end. I thought, you know, she really is going to walk this. And it was great because I love it when they do that. I did a walk once with some youngsters, and we walked all the way up from Staplefield, all the way into Broadfield. And we got into Broadfield, and there were some girls and some boys. And the boys in Broadfield rang their dad to come and collect them. I couldn't believe it. I thought, and the girls, I said, girls, do you want to, we're walking it. We're going to finish. And they were in Broadfield anyway. They'd done all the mass of it. And the boys said, oh, call dad and come and collect us. And I said, I'm really pleased when some of these people say, yeah, I'm going to do it. And, you know, we got up to Hang Cross, at which point Ed said, okay, I'm off home now. And he just disappeared. He'd gone. And I walked home then. I had Shiv with me, who's a little, he must be 11, I guess. And he walked, Shiv and myself, we just walked the last bit, which seemed longer than I remember. We walked together, just chatting about doing this. And he was like, oh yeah, I don't feel too bad, actually. I'm doing all right. And I thought, I don't know if he was or whether he was just saying it, but he walked quite well that last bit. And Bobby and Ashini, they just walked behind quite slowly, but Mum kept Ashini going. And we all got home and we all made it. And I just think it was a terrific achievement for them. And I think Bobby had thought my kids had done it, but they'd done bits and pieces of it, but never in one go. They'd always done half and then slept and then half or whatever. And I talked about doing it, you know, and they'd done it all the way. They wanted to do it. I think they thought ours had done it, so they wanted to do it, but they did it. And I'm still impressed by it, and I thought the tremendous determination. And one of the reasons, obviously, I think Ashini didn't want to give up is because the brother would have always teased her, you never made it, did you? So in a way, she had to do it, but she did do it. And that's her willpower. Her legs didn't want to do it. Her feet didn't want to do it. But she just carried on and she did it. And as I thought about this walk, you know, one of the things, they couldn't have just said, got up one morning and said, oh, I think we'll do that walk. They had actually been preparing themselves. They had been doing some walking, regular walking, to prepare themselves. They hadn't just got up and thought, ooh, let's do that. They had some experience. They had some experience, you know, practice. They had a goal. They really wanted to do this walk. They were all determined. Mum wanted to do it. She was very determined that she wanted to do it. Because when I'd say to her about catching the bus home, she'd just look at me like, you know, because we'd walk up the bus route. You can always then, well, there's only two buses. One's at about 3 o'clock, one's at 6 o'clock. So there's not that many buses. It's pretty dire, really. If you think, oh no, we can go on, you've got to do a long walk. We were actually 9 hours walking. Over 9 hours. So that was quite an achievement. But there was a goal. They had a long-term goal. And I try and set little short-term goals while we're doing these things. You know, phase one, we're going to get out of Brighton. Phase two, Devil's Dyke. Just to try and, I do this sometimes with my kids, to try and keep them going. But they had short-term goals and long-term goals. But they had this plan and they wanted to do it. And they did it. And it's down to basically willpower. Because if they hadn't willed themselves to do it, they, in any other circumstance, any other time, they would have just jumped in the car at the first opportunity. We would have all jumped in the car if our legs were aching like that. If someone said to you, walk or ride, you'd be in the car straight away. It's funny, really. Another time, I was doing the same walk with Ed and Rue, just the three of us, and it was the hottest day in the summer. I think it was the hottest day. Pretty cruel, really. And I had asked this lady, for some directions. And she said, oh, it's very hot. I'll give you a lift if you want. I said, oh, no, we'll walk in it. Are you sure? So we carried on walking up. And as we were walking out of Brighton, this car pulled up and this lady said, do you want a lift? And me and Ed said, yeah. And Rue said, no, we're going to walk it. And I said, oh, no, you won't let us. We have to walk it. And so we had to do it. But, you know, sometimes you have to will yourself to do things. You have to say, I will do it. And so we can either will to do something or we can actually be. Sometimes you say someone's strong-willed, it means that they won't do it and they're very stubborn. I don't know if any of you have ever had that said about you, that you stubborn. I might have, but. So the power, you know, of. And as we were walking along, you'd have to try and say things to encourage each other. The power of speech. You know, we want to will ourselves, but also what we can say can encourage us or can deflate us. You know, when that little girl said, how much longer? If I had said, oh, it's 8 hours, it'd be quite, she was quite determined, but it's kind of, quite a bad thought actually. When your legs are struggling and you think you've got 8 hours to go. And, the power of words. And last week, there was a game. I mean, he's not in here now, Jehobi. IBTI had rung up to have a game of football. And they said, could I organise some boys to play the IBTI students in football? And I said, yeah, okay. And I thought, I'll ring Jehobi. And Jehobi got a gang of Broadfield boys to go and play IBTI college. And we went down there and the game started and IBTI were pretty good, actually. And it was 1-0 to IBTI. It was 2-0 to IBTI as the game went on. 3-0 to IBTI. And I've been in these situations before and I could see the Broadfield boys all starting to lose heart. Then they start to have a go at each other. It's like, oh, and then they start to. And I could just see there's nothing positive coming out of them. You get the people on the sideline, oh, moan. And then it's all sort of, oh, where's this? Oh, that's rubbish. And words sort of along that line, maybe, you know. And I think I'm watching the Broadfield boys playing and I'm watching the Broadfield couple of boys that's, you know, the subs. And I'm thinking, they're not going to last the game because they're starting to self-destruct because of the words that they say to each other is just going to destroy themselves. They will not last. You get them just moaning, oh, you're not going to, oh, da, da, oh, I'm going to go, and it will self-destruct. And I went over to them and I said, boys, you've got to say some positive things. You've got to try and encourage each other. You've got to try and, you know, pull together. You can't just self, you know, because I know that's where it'll end up. Try and sort of just say a couple of positive things to each other. Otherwise, you know, the game's, you're going to be 10, 15 nil down, you know, if you don't pull together and be a bit more positive. As it happened, it ended up at something like 6 or 7-3. It wasn't too bad. And they did start playing a bit better. But the words that they could just speak, you know, it was all critical. There's no help. There's no help to anyone. I'm watching them play and I'm thinking, there might be some truth in what they're saying, but it's not helping their team by just having a go at each other. I can just watch. It's just self-destructing. Then they'll all end up in a big sort of, walk off. Because that's what it ends up as. Oh, I'm not playing. I'm off. Oh, I can't hack it. And it all just drop out and then it'll all just defeat themselves. And they just needed a bit pull together and say a bit more together. So the power of words can have a big difference. And they did manage. And they're going to play again. They want us to do a rematch. So I thought, good on them. I hope, you know, hope they can get through that. But words, willpower, they have a lot of things, you know, a big importance to us, don't they? And just last week, I know Viv was feeling a bit down. And, you know, it's really good that different people, I've got down here, I know Margaret, she gave feedback to Kevin about the psalm. She said, you know, you said it in church, that the psalm that was read out spoke to her and it impacted her time here, her time of praise and worship. But she fed that back to Kevin. That would encourage Kevin. Do you see what I mean? She could have just kept it to herself. Margaret encouraged Viv. Caroline encouraged Viv. Moretta encouraged Viv. Debbie encouraged Viv. Wow, Viv was flying high. You know, that's great. And just things that we can say can be very encouraging. We can just, little things. And why I said will, because sometimes church is a matter of will. So it's not a matter of feeling, whether I feel like it, although I can have a big part to play in it, but it has to be a matter of will. Will I, you know, am I going to praise God, or does it come down to, do I feel like praising God? And sometimes it does have to come down to a matter of will, because sometimes we don't always feel like it. If we had to come to church because we felt like it, it'd be very easy to just stay in bed. It'd be very easy to just sit there and watch the telly if we felt like it. We have to kind of will ourselves to do things. And sometimes it's important that we say, yes, I will do that. Sometimes it's important for us to will to encourage one another. We might, do you know, when praise is due, we can give it whether we want to or not. It's still praise and it's not hypocritical. You know, when I watch some sports and one team beats the other, the losing team sometimes say, oh, they played better than us. That's praise. They don't want to give it. They want to be the winners, but they give it where it's due. And they want to be the ones being praised, but they say, no, that team played better than us. They were the better team today. That's praise where it's due. We can give it. And as I thought about this, whether we want to, sometimes we might think, yeah, but am I a hypocrite? You know, if I do that, am I coming with the wrong attitude? Am I being hypocritical, you know, to go when I don't feel like it? But God is always worthy of praise. He's always worthy of it. You know, you're not saying, well, I don't think you're worthy today, so I'm not going to pray. He's always worthy, whether we feel like it or not. He is worthy. So to say that he is good, it doesn't depend on me feeling it. He is always good. I can say it whether I feel like it or not. And I am not hypocritical. And as I was thinking of this, I thought, well, we might think it's been legalistic. You know, you know, God is always worthy of praise and worship, isn't he? And, you know, sometimes we just have to will ourselves to do these things. And when we come to praise God and when we come to encourage one another, you know, sometimes it's just a little act of will. You know, we will do this. And the other thing, as I thought about these things, I thought about sometimes when we come to worship or praise God, we might look at others and think, are they praising? We might not. That, you know, that's good. And we don't know what's going on in someone's heart. You know, it was lovely. You know, Gunilla got up today and said, you know, spoke from God. God, he was to encourage someone that God has heard their prayer. And, you know, in the Bible it says, Jacob worshipped leaning on his, I was going to try and get a walking stick to lean, but he probably leant like this and he praised God. I don't know how did he worship when he leant on a stick like this? What did he do? Did he get his guitar out and start worshipping? But it said he worshipped leaning on his staff. You know, it was from his heart, wasn't it? We don't know what he, well, I guess he spoke out, or maybe even just quietly just praise God. It doesn't say, it just said he worshipped leaning on his staff. And there's other occasions they worshipped him in the boat. You know, they didn't all get out, sit, you know, I don't know, get the guitars out. We can't always judge where people are at. God judges your heart and what you're bringing. I'd just like to finish with a psalm. When I was looking at the psalms, you know, the psalms, they're great. You know, there's all sorts of psalms. And as I was looking through them, I thought, do you know, these really encourage Jesus. I always think this. When I read them, I can see they're about Jesus and they were an encouragement to him. Only I've got to try and remember which one it was I was going to read. I think it was 52. Let me just finish with this psalm. Because there's loads in here. I had loads marked out and I thought I can pick loads of these. You know, sometimes he's saying, why does this happen? Why does that happen? Why is this going on? Why are that going on? And why do they do okay? But often, and other times he says, Lord, help me to praise, or help me to pray. Well, they're actually written like a prayer. Help me. They're often help me ones. And I'll just read this one to you to finish with, yeah? Why do you boast of evil, you mighty man? Why do you boast all day long, you who are a disgrace in the eyes of God? Your tongue plots destruction. It is like a sharpened razor. You who practice deceit, you love evil rather than good, falsehood rather than speaking the truth. You love every harmful word. Oh, you deceitful tongue. You think, why am I reading this? Because sometimes we get bogged down with the evil that goes on. We get bogged down with the problems that bog our life down, and we end up focusing on those. And in a way, he's talking about this man here, that some proud person, some person like this, that we could just end up focusing on, why do they get away with it? And he says, you know, you love evil rather than good, falsehood rather than speaking the truth. You love every harmful word, O deceitful tongue. Surely God, and then this is where he kicks in now, this is him. He could just leave it there and he could be thinking, oh, this person, he's so powerful and so strong and he's not a nice guy, but oh, why does he get away with it? But then he goes on, he has this thing in perspective, doesn't he? David has his perspective. He goes, surely God will bring you down to everlasting ruin. He will snatch you up and tear you from your tent. He will uproot you from the land of the living. The righteous will see and fear. They will laugh at him, saying, here now is the man who did not make God his stronghold, but trusted in his great wealth and grew strong by destroying others. You know, sometimes we can see others. They're doing well. They're prospering. They're perhaps, you know, you think, oh, look at them. No, don't they do well? Da, da, da. But David's got it in perspective here. You know, he sees that they're corrupt, but they're trusting in their wealth. they've grown strong, destroying others. What's his response? But I am like an olive tree, flourishing in the house of God. I trust in God's unfailing love forever and ever. I will praise you forever for what you have done. In your name I will hope, for your name is good. I will praise you in the presence of your saints. He doesn't get, it bothers him. He sees this person that's prospering by running others down. But he doesn't dwell there. He says, I will praise the Lord. And he moves on. And sometimes, you know, we let the things of this world bog us down. We let the worries of this world bog us down. And can we praise God? Sometimes we can't because we're bogged down by this world. But sometimes we have to get things in perspective and we say, but I am like an olive tree flourishing in the house of God. And let us be olive trees flourishing in the house of God. Let us focus on Jesus and let us will ourselves to praise him. Let us will ourselves to bless each other and let us prosper in that sense, flourish in the house of God. We might not have all this wealth, this world, but let us get things into perspective. And I think I can finish at that, yeah? Okay. Heavenly Father, we get tied up with the things of this world, the storms of life, Lord. We'd ask that you would help us to keep our eyes on you. Help us to see the big picture. Help us to focus on you. Help us to will ourselves to praise you and to encourage and bless each other, Lord. Watch over us as we go from here and let us not be led astray, distracted and bogged down, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.